Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome listeners to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Tonight we have as our guest, Dr. Raymond Lee Evans. How are you doing this afternoon, Dr. Evans?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing okay. Dr. Evans, I guess one of my first questions would be, how did you get your start with the group Flavor?
Well, first, let me just thank you for inviting me to the show. It's an honor to actually come on and express a piece of my history to your audience. So, just want to say thank you for that. I got started with Flavor about 6 years ago. It was right after, and just to give you a little precursor to that, prior to those that start with Flavor, I had pretty much given up on music as far as performance and things like that. And it wasn't shortly, ironically, it was when my marriage kind of went south that I received a phone call from Greg Benson, who was the owner and founder of Flavor 35 years ago, and he asked, he had a couple of friends of my mom who at the church were musicians with him, and they had passed my name on to him after hearing me play at the church one Sunday, and he called me out of the blue and asked if I would like to be a part of Flavor, and I was like, sure, because I had nothing else going on at the time. So I've been with Flavor for 6 years. I was 6 years on the 1st of December. So.
Okay. That's wonderful. So Flavor's been around for 35 years. Is that what you said?
Flavor's been around for over 35 years. I believe we're approaching the 40th year with Flavor in existence.
Oh, okay. All right, so Flavor's been around a long time. What instrument do you play?
I play trumpets, and I do a few vocals, jazz vocals.
Okay. All right. How long? You've already answered that. How did this group get their start? Do you know how the group Flavor first got its start?
Yes, and I have to hear about it. Every time we go out of town on a gig, they were a bunch of friends that got together. Greg Stinson started with another band. He had just always wanted to learn how to play guitar, so he actually started out as a roadie. And he started learning guitar little by little. And, lo and behold, he became quite phenomenal on the guitar, and he started the band Flavor with a few friends. They talk about their existence when they, back in the early 80s, where the equipment was extremely large and heavy, and they were renting U-Haul trailers to move this equipment. There were no roadies to unload the equipment, so they were pretty much doing it on their own, and they had some very, phenomenal performers, singers, and musicians to put this band together, and they've been hit in Atlanta for, like I said, over 35 years. It came a point where all the musicians pretty much, they were doing so well that they had let their jobs go because they were making so much doing with Flavor. They had found with East Coast Productions, and they were really making steady money. And they started out, like most bands, they started out playing in the nightclubs and private parties and things like that. And Anthony Lemons, who was the lead vocalist in the band, introduced them to another level, which is a corporate level. And he bought the first tuxedos. If you go to the flavormusic.com, you see the picture. He bought the first tuxedos to introduce into Flavor as a corporate band. And so ever since then, they've been doing corporate functions, high-end weddings, private parties for companies like IBM, Microsoft, Coca-Cola, and just the 1% that really want to throw an extravagant wedding for their daughters.
Oh, okay. All right. That's wonderful. What type of PhD do you have?
My PhD is in philosophy. Most people thought that I would, go after my doctorate in music education, but basically there's only so far you can go with music and theory on paper and in the books. And my passion, my new passion was in writing and research, and I fell in love with writing. And
okay.
I said, well, I'll go ahead and pursue philosophy.
All right. What university did you attend?
Well, I got my training in leadership. Most of my degrees came from online colleges. I finished with my bachelor's in arts and training in leadership at Alameda University. I finished my bachelor and master's of music education and my PhD out of Belfer University.
Okay, could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, my bachelor of arts, master of arts in music education, and my PhD came up from Belfer University out of Humboldt.
Okay, all right, thank you for that. You are the author of Finding Your Real and Spreading Your Wings. Finding Your Real is about marriage and how to build a strong marriage. Am I correct?
Yes, and it goes a little bit more in depth. I like to, I wrote that book for people that are really trying to build a solid or really want to know what it takes to be that 70, 80, 90-year-old couple, walking down the street still holding hands, because of a strong, solid marriage. That's the real reason for writing that book, was for us to really minister to men on how to find not the perfect mate, but the mate that's perfect for them and build a lasting relationship.
Okay. All right. So the book was mostly written for men and from a man's perspective. Okay.
Well, it was originally, that was the goal. Once you get the writing in the the Holy Spirit takes over, it really forms into just a novel or a guide for people, not just men.
Okay. What should a man or woman look for in a mate, according to your book?
I tell people that If you're not marrying your best friend, and I say best friend because if you know with best friends are those people that you tell anything to. 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at lunchtime, just out of the blue when something happens. There are like no secrets with your best friend. Your best friend just knows everything about you and you know everything about him. And so I tell people that men and women first should be best friends before they get married. And if you're not marrying your best friend, then it's probably not something you want to pursue at that point, because it takes time to find that best friend, that one that you can trust. So what I would tell men and women today is to first, in any relationship, you want to build a very solid foundation of friendship.
Okay. What do you consider a strong relationship that will lead to a good, solid marriage?
There are many qualities that have to be thrown into this pot. First being friendship, trust, honesty, loyalty. I think a lot of the young people back in my day used to say ride or die type mentality. It means that you're in for the long haul, through thick and thin, through better or worse, rich or poor, not until someone runs out of money or until they break a leg or until they're paralyzed. So, building a solid foundation, a strong marriage, you've got to have those qualities. qualities of first A, trust. I mean, if you can't trust anybody, why be with them, you know? Many people would say that you know, love has to be the key to it, but I'll explain to you why that's not the key. It's not love, although it's a main ingredient within the relationship. But love is not the key element. It's not what you need first to build a solid relationship. So when you talk about building a strong relationship, there are all sorts of qualities that have to come into play, and love actually becomes the elastic that holds everything together.
Okay. Love becomes everlasting that holds everything together. All right, we have some callers, so I'm going to go to the caller and see if they have the callers and see if a couple of them have anything to say.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to say to Dr. Raymond Lee Evans?
Yes, I'd like to. Yes, my question is, how can you resolve an issue that you both are very heated and passionate about?
Okay, are you married, or is it just is this something that's just kind of girlfriend boyfriend relationship?
I'm not married yet, but I am
okay.
Soon to be.
Okay. Heated issues or any type of issues are good things. That's what they call growing pains in a relationship. You're gonna have those issues because you're used to doing things one way, she's used to doing things another way, and you're gonna have those heated discussions. But the most important thing, and I'm sure that a lot of people can tell you this, is that A, somebody has to be the one to listen. Because oftentimes we're trying to overtalk the next person or think that their problem is as significant as our problem or the issue is. Men have a tendency, because we think on such a logical level, that we kind of water down or downplay, you know, issues with a logical thought. You know, well, this is what you should be doing. This is what you should be doing. But I found it, as a man, I found it very, very helpful and healthy to be a listener. To be a listener. Now, it goes both ways. Now, once you hear out what the problem is, you're able to decipher what's going on with the relationship and what is the key issue within the problem that is causing this fire to spark in it. And it will allow you to pull back, you know, take a deep breath, and then decide on a healthy response to what's going on. Oftentimes, you know, I've learned that most problems don't really want a solution. They just want to be heard. I mean, people just want to get off their shelf. So when you're having a heated discussion with your significant other and things like that, be a listener. Be a listener. Hear, you know, allow to hear her side of the story, and then give her a chance to hear your side of the story. Now, you know, with any relationship, somebody's got to take charge. Somebody's got to take charge, and it doesn't always mean taking charge in on an offensive, like, well, I'm just going to speak and that's going to be it. But taking charge and being the first one to listen, be the one to listen and hear, not just listen, but actually hear what the other person is saying and what's causing the pain and the hurt and the spark to go off.
All right. I'm going to take a small break. I have some announcements to make, and then we're going to come back and talk to Dr. Evans. Callers, please stay on the line. Listeners, this show is sponsored by Joe Biden and Calvin's Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Joe Biden and Calvin's Mortgage Investments. This company can handle all of your commercial financing needs. So contact them at 678-607-5092 and allow them to handle your commercial financing. Their website is http://.dobeincalvin.com. webs.com. And the number is 1-678-607-5092. And tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. All right, listeners, I'm going to go back to Dr. Evans. Dr. Evans.
Yes.
Do you believe that a man and a woman should have the same denomination or religious beliefs in order for a relationship or a marriage to work?
It helps. But no. And
no?
I'll explain that because in a relationship, I think we need to take marriage away from religion. Religion is never really about anything but traditions and things like that. And I think that most couples should be on a same spiritual level, not a religious or denomination level. But it helps when you're talking about getting married because, you know, when the two become one, they become just that. And you don't want to separate, you know, I've been a member at my church for, you know, 30 years and she's been a member at her church for, you know, 20 years. And there's some ties to churches. And I think that's what's dangerous about the places of worship is that there are ties to that. But you have to understand that there's a compromise when you get married. There's a compromise on everything, and that is including, you know, places of worship. Decide where you're going to go. It helps to be equally yoked. That's the bottom line, is to be equally yoked on a spiritual level. It means to understand and know and have a relationship with the same God. Or you're going to have, you're going to cause one another to stumble in their beliefs.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Do you believe that two people that are complete opposites can have a solid and strong marriage?
Two people that are opposites will have a strong and solid marriage because there's mystery. There's a constant learning. There's always something new. If I like country, she likes classical. That, you know, that allows you to open up to different things, different foods, different friends, different atmospheres and things like that. So that makes for a very exciting marriage. People are the opposite. And not to take anything from people who have the same idea, same goal, same habits, same qualities, that just makes things a little bit easier. There is some, with opposites, there is a lot of work. That process is a little bit longer from dating to courting to engagement to marriage than someone that would have a lot more in common. But when they go through that process, the end result is a strong, long-lasting marriage. And that is from actually talking with couples, how they met, and did they have anything in common. And most of the couples that I met that have been married more than 25 years, that they had absolutely nothing in common except the day that they met and where they met.
Okay. All right. What are things to look for to let a person know that this person is not the one for me? What should you look for before marrying?
Red flags.
Red flags. What are the red flags?
Well, there are a number of red flags. Red flags are anything that will cause you to stumble. One, lying is one big red flag. Many of us have learned that the very hard way. I know most men, we're attracted to what's physical to us, and we have a view that, yeah, that looks nice now, but I can't take that, you know, you can't wear that around my mother. But this is the way she loves dress and things like that. Well, that's something that you're not going to be able to get used to, or things that you're not going to be able to, they're not going to change. You're not going to be able to change them. And I'll give you a better example. If I, as a man, am looking for a woman that can cook and she's clean about the house, she dresses nice, and she's great with kids, and I marry someone who I've never seen cook because she can't cook, and the first time I come to her house, it's disarrayed, everything's all over the place, and I decide to marry her, I can't complain about it. After marriage,
in other words,
I can't complain about it.
You're saying that's the little things, like the way somebody dressed that irritates you or something they do that you don't feel is really, that you're not comfortable with the way the person dresses, or if you expect the person to cook and they're not cooking before you marry, you shouldn't expect them to cook after you're married to them.
Exactly.
Because they're
don't
not
expect,
likely to change.
Right. Don't expect the marriage fairy to show up with her magic wand and turn her into this magic cooking machine. It's not going to happen. If she doesn't want to cook, or if he doesn't want to cook, chances are he's not going to cook. You've married that. And that's what you married. So at that point, you can't even complain about it because you knew that she could cook before you married her, and you can't expect her to cook or want to learn how to cook once you get married. That's going to be totally on her. And if that's a problem for you, then it needs to be a problem in the beginning and discussed between the two of you. And if the end of the conversation says, well, I just don't want to ever learn how to cook, then that's not what you're looking for. That's not someone that's going to be perfect for you.
So what you're saying is, if you still want to marry that person, you should talk to them about the habits that they have, the way they dress before you marry them, and see if you can come to an understanding. Or am I understanding you correctly?
Yes, you want to make sure that, you know, because if you've never seen her cook, it doesn't mean that she doesn't know how to cook. Or if you've never seen him, you know his how he lives, it doesn't mean that he's an automatic slob. But if you can't start talking, you know, healthy talk before you get married, you're not going to have healthy conversations after you're married. And so this is the perfect time to say, hey, you know what, I don't like that. I don't like the way you treat people. I don't like the way you just go off. I don't like the way you swear. And if she's or he is mature enough to understand, listen to you and understand, okay, well, I did not know that that bothered you. I will do my best to watch that or correct that. Or if the response is, well, that's just how I am, that's more absolute than I'll try to watch myself or change, then that is your red flag, because that's going to cause you to stumble. That's going to cause arguments, unnecessary arguments, turmoil in your marriage. If you decide to marry her, then you're marrying her for all the wrong reasons. Because in marriage, there's going to be some rough spots, but there's going to be some things that you're going to be able to handle on a very healthy, mature level in a marriage. And if you can't have that healthy, mature relationship or conversation in the beginning because this person is refusing to say, well, you know what, I just don't want to do that. That's just who I am. You have, you know, people love to say, you have to accept me for what I am. Well, if what he or she is not good enough for you, then that's not what you're looking for, and then it should not progress to that. This is why it's important to date. Please date. Get out there and date. Don't just date one person and call it exclusive. Date more than one person. You know, date Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know, Susie, Jane, and Martha. And then find out, you know, choose from them. That's exactly what dating is. It's an assessment. You're making an assessment. Some dates are worthy of a second date, and some are not.
Okay. All right, we have some other callers. I'm going to go to the caller and see if they have any questions for you, Dr. Raymond Evans.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Do you have any questions for Dr. Evans?
Is this me?
All right. You just want to listen?
How you doing? No, I don't have any questions for him right now. I pretty much enjoyed everything that he's been saying.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, caller.
All right. caller, do you have any questions for Dr. Evans?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
How do you get over, how do you talk about what do you like in the bedroom?
How do you get, bedroom talk, how do you get over, is you talking about the phobia or
things that you like in the bedroom, how do you have discussion with your mate without offending him or insulting him?
That's a good question. Hard questions, the hard topics and things like that. And are you married or are you single or dating?
I am engaged.
Okay, you're engaged. All right. You haven't had that conversation yet? That's always one of the hardest topics to discuss with your mate, because many of us are not going to be virgins, first of all, when we get married. And let's just throw that out there. And we've had experiences, you know, elsewhere with different relationships and different couples and things like that. And so we've acquired a certain taste or preference in the bedroom. And the only thing that you can do is just talk about it openly, not in a bedroom setting, but this is something that you want to have outside of the bedroom. As if you were saying, so what is your favorite food? What are your favorite colors? That conversation does have to build up, with sex. It's just another topic, what I like in bed, what I'm looking for in bed. The thing about sex is, it's first of all, it's overrated, and sex can always be an adventure, especially with the right person that you're in love with, that you're talking about spending the rest of your life with. The bedroom will be, that's your playground. And you're going to discover new things. If you've had one partner your whole life, or if you've had 20 partners, there are just experiences that are going to feel right for the both of you. So don't be afraid to just make that a topic of discussion. You say, honey, there's just something that's on my mind, and I don't really know how to really say it, so I'm just going to come out and say it, I just wanted us to talk about sex, what are our expectations, which should be none, because, sex is what it is, it's sex, be fruitful and multiply, but enjoy, making them, and there are, that's your playground, discover new things together, that's going to be the best part of it, but talk about it. All you can do is to talk about it. If it's something that's on your heart, then get it off your heart and talk with it. If she is the woman that's perfect for you, it won't offend her. Most people aren't offended about sex talk. We're just a little shy. I think everybody's a little shy when it comes to that person because we're really liking that person, and we don't want to offend them. But you won't offend her. I promise you, you won't offend her by making that a topic of discussion.
All right. Paula, I hope your question has been answered. Should couples receive spiritual counseling or some type of therapy before marriage? Do you believe that this is the right spiritual counseling or even therapy is the right way to go?
Yes. Couples that are involved in...
before marriage.
Yes. Couples that are a part of the church should seek some type of spiritual counseling. Because what that does, the spiritual counseling allows the counselor to ask those questions that we dare to ask each other. And it opens it up. For instance, how many men have you been with? How many women have you been with? What's your credit score like? what are your pet peeves? What is it? Give me the 5 things that you don't like about him. Give me 5 things you don't like about her. Those are the questions that we fail to ask when dating because we're trying not to offend one another. But a counselor will ask those hard questions. So it is important, it is imperative to have spiritual counseling.
What makes for a lasting marriage, in your opinion, according to your book?
number one, both man and woman have to understand that they're number two in each other's lives. They have to be number two because God has to be number one in both of their lives. And as man being the head and you know, wife being the vessel, that takes nothing away from a woman, but God's going to minister to her just like he's going to minister to man. And they have to know that, okay, yeah, I'm not going to come between God and you, and you're not going to come between God and me, because God has to be in this. He has to be the number one point. So as long as you have God first in your marriage, then everything's going to run smooth.
Okay, God first in your marriage. Okay, why do you think the divorce rate is so high in the United States of America?
Lots of reasons. One main reason is that most couples are marrying for stuff. They're marrying for the wrong reason. They're infatuated with each other. They know what they're looking for, you know, as far as physically. And there's you can have everything physically together in a person and lack substance spiritually. And people get married and they can't figure out why they're having these problems, why this person's cheating, you know, why that person's cheating, why was this person lying to me about this. There's a whole bunch of things that they're in that marriage that they don't question. A lot of people don't know what it means to be married. Marriage is a process. I mean, it's a long process. It took my parents were together almost, almost 8 years before they actually got married. They were just so opposite. They were just total opposites. And the divorce rate is because people just don't know what it means to be married. They go before the justice of the peace or the minister or the pastor, and the pastor's saying these important vows. But most of them are standing up there. They're just looking at each other with the goo-goo eyes, and they know that the reception is next, and they're wondering who's out in the audience, you know who's going to be at the reception. Hope the DJ shows up. I hope the cake is right. And they're not listening to those vows, and those vows are very, very important. And what does it mean to say, you know, for through sickness and in health, you know, for better or for worse? These are serious vows that we go before God. And we make a covenant before him. But what good is making a covenant or signing a contract that you haven't read? And that's why couples end in divorce, because they have no clue as to what actually being married is about.
Okay. Thank you for answering that. Do you think that it's a mistake to live together before marriage? Your opinion?
Yes. Absolutely. I do. Try it before you buy it. No. If the heart is right, everything else will be right. And
okay.
Living together, or what we call shacking up, it's kind of like, you know, that's playing house, playing marriage. And if things don't work out, you know, you're back to your mind, well, I can always just leave. But the problem with shacking up is that sometimes it's a little bit harder to get out of, because we end up having a child out of wedlock. And so now it's not such a smooth transition. And now the tendency is to, well, I might as well go ahead and marry her now. How positive does that sound? You know, I better marry her now, or I'm going to get hit with child support. And even if it's not a healthy relationship, I mean, it really snowballs from there, because you end up breaking up anyway.
Okay. What is a healthy relationship, in your opinion? What do you consider a healthy relationship and marriage?
Well, a family that prays together stays together. So God, again, being first in the marriage, is going to be the foundation of that healthy relationship. Being able to communicate on a daily basis, even if it's just arguing, communication, all forms of communication in marriage is healthy. Listening, you know, to those problems. Not always having an answer, but just having a good ear to listen and responding with, you know, well, honey, I understand. You know, sometimes they're not looking for an answer, or we're not looking for an answer. Having God in your forefront of your marriage, remembering the vows, you know, staying true to each other, trusting one another, giving each other just enough space when they need that space to be alone and pray and think some things through.
Okay. Go on.
Also, and again, you know, loving one another, you know, love was telling a friend of mine, I said, look, she was asking me about love, and I said, well, love is an action that triggers an emotion that causes a reaction. So love, or the lack thereof, will produce different types of emotions. And so love is an action that you're constantly doing. If you're paying the bills, you know, that's an act of love. You're making sure that the lights stay on, that the mortgage is paid, that there's gas in the gas tank, you know, that she's not driving off and halfway, you know, on the highway she runs out of gas because she got to put gas in the car and you didn't tell her about it. You know, and that's not love. Love is making sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing to one another. Now, you love everybody, but when you're married, your love becomes more concentrated and more constant to your spouse. So there's an act of love that has to be root in that marriage, and that's constantly doing. Not always saying, but always doing. But I tell people that you can't do without saying, and you can't say without doing. It's kind of like, we'll prove it. Because all I see is the light can't get cut off, and there's not enough food here. And you say you love me, but I'm living in this torment. You're always yelling at me. You're always this, you know. So that love has to become an action. And it is an action. And it's constantly, you're constantly doing and showing how much you love someone. You say you love someone and prove it by doing.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go to my other callers and see if they have a question. Caller, do you have a question? Okay, I guess not. All right. To my other callers. Caller, do you have a question? Hello? I guess not. What would you like to say to the men and women listening that hasn't already been covered in the show? What would you like to leave the listeners?
I'd like to leave them with this one thought, that not to be in a rush. Try not to rush this thing from dating because you're afraid he or she is just going to get away. Oh, they're a great five. They may find somebody else. What God has for you is for you. And if it's meant to be, it'll happen. And try not to complicate things by rushing into things. You know, it's like baking the perfect cake. You can't rush it. You know, otherwise you end up with this glue in the middle. It's not done. But allow yourself to go through the process of first finding a friend, then, you know, while dating, and then entering into a exclusive relationship by courting, and then, you know, cool. That thing, use that time to go and learn about your future, hopefully future mate. Learn as much as you can. Find out about his family, his background, everything you need to find out about him or her, and then move into an engagement. When you're satisfied with who you have been going down this valley with, and you're satisfied with that person as your mate, then man of God, ask her to marry you. And she'll say yes. And when you get married, you know, understand that you're not marrying mama, daddy, cousin, brother, sister, best friend down the street, bonkies from around the way. You're marrying her. So what goes on in your marriage stays in your marriage. What goes on in your bedroom stays in your bedroom. Keep it simple. Love her, love him with all your might, love God even more. And that's it.
Okay. What can the listeners go to see Flavor perform? or ask the group to perform for them?
Well, the website is Flavor, F-L-A-V-O-R, music.com, and that'll take you to the actual website where you can actually book Flavor the Band. Unfortunately, we have not, we don't really perform in your nightclubs and things like that, but if you're looking to book Flavor for a private function like a, you know, family reunion, class reunion, weddings, then you would go to flavormusic.com.
Okay. Where can the listeners go to find your books?
Okay. You can go find Finding Your Rib at Lulu, that's L-U-L-U, .com, keyword search, Finding Your Rib.
Okay, and your other book?
The same spot, the keyword would be Spreading Your Wings.
Spread Your Wings. Okay, give that website again. I just got some people come up on chat. They want chat line. They want their website address again.
Okay, it's Flavor, F-L-A-V-O-R, music.
No, for your books.
Okay, that's Lulu, L-U-L-U, .com, keyword search, Finding Your Rib, or Spreading Your Wings.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you, Dr. Evans. I thank you, Dr. Raymond Lee Evans, for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. You've been a wonderful guest, and I'm sure my listeners and me also and have learned a lot and been educated. And I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
I had fun. I had a blast.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I look forward to having you back. All right, listeners. This show has been sponsored by Dobine and Cowan's Mortgage Investments. Listeners, don't forget to contact Dobine and Cowan's Mortgage Investments. This company can handle all of your commercial financing needs. So contact them at 678-607-5092. Their website is http://dobinecowans.webs.com. Again, that number is 678-607-5092. And let Dobine and Cowans and Mortgage Investments handle all your commercial financing. And tell them that Show Talk with Angela Butler sent you. Thank you, listeners, for listening to the show. Thank you all for calling in. I didn't get to all the callers, but I thank you all for joining in. And thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Everyone, have a good night.